text today comes out of John 1, verses 29 through 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you have seen the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen it, and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated, is Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's human inclination to want certainty of the outcome when we're faced with a decision. We like guarantees that if we take that step, it's going to land us somewhere very safe and predictable. We want to know how things will turn out before we commit ourselves to the journey. This instinct shows up everywhere in life, from relationships to careers to faith. We want answers before trust. We want understanding before obedience. Oh, and without a doubt, we want assurance before risk. Yet when we turn to the opening chapter of the Gospel of John, we see that is not how discipleship begins. It doesn't start with a lecture on theology. It doesn't start with a fully formed confession of faith. It starts with witnesses. It starts with a question and an invitation. It starts with people who are curious enough, open enough, and brave enough to respond to three simple words: "Come and see." John the Baptist stands in the middle of this moment, even though he doesn't make it about himself. When he sees Jesus coming toward him, he says words that would have sounded both familiar and surprising to those who were listening. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, for those who had been raised knowing Israel's story, their history, their customs, their life, the image of a lamb being carried has many layers of meaning. Lambs were tied to sacrifice, deliverance, and hope. The Passover lamb recalled God's saving act in Egypt. The daily sacrifices in the temple pointed toward forgiveness and restored relationship with God. When John calls Jesus the Lamb of God, he's not offering a casual metaphor. He is naming Jesus as the one through whom God will deal with sin and brokenness and separation. But John doesn't take the time to explain all of that. He doesn't stop to outline the theology of atonement. He doesn't stop to unpack for those listening how Jesus will take away the sin of the world. He simply bears witness. He points. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. John's role is not to make people believe by force or by argument. His role is to simply point toward Jesus and trust that God will do the rest. That matters to us, because so often we feel that we have to have all of the answers before we invite someone else toward faith. We think we need to be experts. We need to be apologists. We need to be spiritual professionals. John reminds us that faithful witness begins with honesty. This is what I've seen. This is what I know. This is who I believe Jesus to be. And God handles the rest. Then we see a very powerful moment. Two of John's disciples hear him say this, and they leave John and they follow Jesus. Now, the word follow can sound dramatic to us. You know, we picture them dropping everything. We picture them immediately believing Jesus. We picture them immediately knowing everything that Jesus does. But it's probably as simple as they started walking behind him. They take a few tentative steps. They don't leave everything to start with. They don't yet know where this path is going to lead, but they are responding to curiosity that had been sparked by John's testimony. Jesus sees them and he turns around with a question. What do you want? He doesn't ask them what they believe. He doesn't ask them who they know. He doesn't ask them if they're worthy. Jesus just says, what do you want? That question has a way of stopping us short today. What do we want from Jesus? Comfort, healing, meaning, forgiveness, direction, community? Sometimes we come with mixed motives, half-formed hopes. Maybe hopes that we can't even give voice to. Questions we can't put into words. The first disciples are no different. They answer Jesus' question with another question. Rabbi, where are you staying? Now, in a way, this sounds like a small question that's kind of evasive. But it actually shows deep longing. They want to know where Jesus lives, where he abides, where his life is rooted. They want to know how to get closer, how to spend time with him, how to learn who he truly is. And Jesus responds not with an explanation, but with an invitation. Come and see. Now, these three little words carry the weight of the entire gospel. Jesus doesn't demand immediate understanding. He doesn't require a statement of belief before relationship. He just invites them into his life. He invites them to experience before they explain. So they go. They see where he's staying. They spend the day with him. John even notes the time. About 4 in the afternoon, as if to say this moment mattered. This was the hour when everything began to change. Something happens in that unrecorded conversation, something holy, something transforming. Because one of those disciples, Andrew, can't keep it to himself. He goes and finds his brother Simon and says words that sound simple but are filled with wonder. We have found the Messiah. And notice what Andrew doesn't say. He doesn't say, I understand everything now. He doesn't say, I've got it all figured out. He says, we have found. Discovery, not mastery. Encounter, not control. Andrew brings Simon to Jesus. He doesn't clean him up first. He doesn't prepare him with a checklist of beliefs. He doesn't provide answers to the questions he thinks Jesus is going to ask. He simply brings him into the presence of Christ. And Jesus, looking at Simon, gives him a new name. You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. Before Simon understands who Jesus is, Jesus speaks into who Simon will become. Everything starts with grace. And this is how Christ is revealed in the passage, not through coercion, not through certainty, but through invitation. Not through complete understanding, but through willingness. The disciples follow not because they know everything, but because they are willing to come and see. Y'all, this matters. This matters so much because many people assume that faith is about having all the answers neatly lined up. They think it's about having all the right words. They think belief requires intellectual certainty, emotional confidence, and moral perfection. John's gospel tells a different story. Faith begins with curiosity. Faith begins with trust enough to take a step. Faith begins with showing up. The invitation, come and see, is gracious because it makes room for questions. It honors process. It respects the reality that transformation takes time. Jesus doesn't shame uncertainty. He meets people within it. Yeah, we often assume that discipleship means instruction first and relationship second. But in this text, we see that relationship comes first. Time together comes first. Shared life comes first. Teaching will come. Challenge will come. The cross will come. But it all begins with an invitation to just be present with Jesus. Yeah, that's good news for those of us who feel like we don't belong. Those of us who worry that we don't know enough, who fear that we are too broken or that our chance has passed by. The grace of God doesn't wait for us to be ready and have it all together and know everything. It meets us where we are and invites us forward. Now, this is good news for a church learning how to bear witness in a world that is so suspicious, a world that rejects pressure. We're not called to force belief or win arguments. We're called to point toward Christ and extend that same invitation that we received. Come and see. Come and see what grace looks like. Come and see what forgiveness can do. Come and see how love reshapes our life. This invitation applies not only to those outside the church, but those who have been walking with Jesus for a long time. There are seasons when faith feels dry. when it's just so familiar, it doesn't stir us anymore. Or maybe it feels just stalled. And in these moments, Jesus still says, come and see. Come and see me again. Come and see with fresh eyes. Come and see how I am still at work. That's the beauty of this text, because it refuses to rush the story. It shows us that God honors beginnings. God reveals Christ over time through relationship, through witness, through lived experience. The disciples didn't start with full clarity. What they started with was openness. And that openness is enough for God to work with. So perhaps this reminds us that revelation is not just about light shining from heaven. It's about light encountered in human relationships, in shared times, in simple invitations. Christ is revealed when someone points and says, look. Christ is revealed when someone asks an honest question. Christ is revealed when someone is willing to come and see. So maybe the question for us today isn't, do I understand everything? Maybe the question is, am I willing? Am I willing to follow even when I don't have the whole picture? Am I willing to invite others without needing to control the outcome? Am I willing to trust that Jesus will meet people where they are just as he met me? The journey of faith doesn't begin with certainty. It begins with grace. It begins with an invitation. It begins when we hear Jesus say, come and see. And we take a small step, trusting that whatever we find, we will not be walking alone. And that, loved ones, is where discipleship still begins today. Bow your heads with me, please. Faithful God, as we leave this space of loving you, of worshiping you, we thank you for meeting us here. You've spoken your word. You've stirred our hearts, and you have reminded us that faith begins with an invitation, not a demand. Carry what you have planted in us beyond this space. Give us eyes to see where you are at work, ears to hear your call, and willing hearts to follow wherever you lead. We place our trust in you, knowing that you go before us and you remain with us always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.